Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders about the wolves, the grievous wolves that he foresaw would enter in among the flock as those from among them and not those from without. And Paul said he shed tears day and night for 3 years in light of these deceivers coming in to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you think that people like myself and other disciples of Jesus who are warning you are over the edge, or as they say, over the top, well, look at the Apostle Paul. He shed tears, and we're going to read that passage in just a minute there in Acts 20. He shed tears literally for 3 years, day and night, knowing that these wolves were going to invade the body of Christ, or the professing church. It seems like here that the Holy Spirit in Paul foresaw the vile, heretical wolves that were going to invade the professing church for the whole era of the New Testament leading up to the return of Jesus. Like I said, that's what it seems, friends. Now, notice here, beginning in verse 27, Acts chapter 20. Let's start in verse 20. I want to read that one, then we'll jump to 26. Notice, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So Paul had a clear conscience, as we're going to see him reiterate in just a moment, because he didn't keep anything of the truth of God back from the people of God, but taught publicly. He showed them the truth and taught them publicly from house to house. Now notice verse 26, the apostle says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." In other words, like Ezekiel speaks of, that's what he's referencing. He has warned the people, and therefore he had no blood guilt on his hands. The book of Ezekiel warns us in chapter 3 of Ezekiel. The Bible says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life." And that's what warning is for. It's to save the life of those caught up in deception, that which they're being warned about by the righteous. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, he says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Also Colossians 1:28. He did three things to prepare the body of Christ to meet the Lord, and that is to preach, warn, and teach. PWT, preach, warn, teach. Warning is an integral part of ministry, Saints, and so we don't pick and choose. We obey God in the fear of the Lord as we deny ourselves and any sentiment or anything else that would hinder us from revealing the whole truth of the Word of God. And this is why we're reading in Acts 20 that Paul said he was clean. He didn't have any blood on his hands because he was faithful to declare all of the truth of God. So Ezekiel 3:18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." So God will require it of us if we do not warn, and we will have blood, the blood guilt of our omission on our hands, and be guilty before God.
God if we don't warn the wicked, whether they've been saved or not. He goes on in verse 20 of Ezekiel 3, and again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, there it is, not talking to the wicked that have never been saved, specifically when a righteous man, who? A righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. See, the wages of sin is still death. Romans 6:23. The soul that sinneth, it shall die or be separated from me, is what he says there, and that's Ezekiel 18:4. So notice, he shall die, that is, the one that was once righteous, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So this is where Paul is speaking from, and where he's referencing that he is clean from the blood of all men. Verse 26 in our passage here in Acts 20, as Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, the elders of Christ, the servant elders in the body of Christ there in the city of Ephesus. So he says, wherefore I take you to record or record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not, here's why he was pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. It's important, saints, that we study and we share and communicate and teach, endeavor to do so, that is, not only as individuals, but as a body, quote, all the counsel of God, all the counsel of God, not just some. You see, it takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. We must take that view and learn the Word of God. We can't do that unless we read it comprehensively, the whole of the Word of God, and we let the Word of Christ dwell in us, not only individually, but as a body, richly, as we teach and admonish one another. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we got the Word of God, we got psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, which are in the Word of God, etc. Then he says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, we are to feed the church of God, the people, the ecclesia, the called out people of God. And they are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will build my church. He's not only adding new converts into the body of Christ, but he's building his kingdom truth in the hearts of those people, his called out people. We are to feed the church of God. Now, if you're called to serve the Lord in some capacity, listen, God is calling you to feed the church of God. When you cease or slow up or allow yourself to be hindered from feeding the church of God, you can know that Satan is at work. He's hindering you, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, and you must fight the good fight of faith. Perhaps you're backsliding and don't realize it. I see a lot of people that have turned from preaching the gospel to political, you know, fighting the political fight. I'm not saying a little bit of that is bad. I don't think it is, but to inform people, and, you know, scripture says we're to pray for those in authority. Obviously, we should take some kind of responsibility to participate, but our main function here is not this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Our main function, as is declared right here, and as Jesus told Peter 3 times, feed my sheep. Paul's saying it right here, that overseers sort of feed the church of God. If you're not feeding the word of God to the body of Christ, to the church of God, then you are not performing the duty, the primary duty that the Lord has given you to fuel them, to feed them. And that would include getting them into the word themselves, of course, so that they can begin to feed others, to replace yourself, if you will, not to make yourself a permanent fixture in their life. No, Christ is the permanent fixture, not you, not me. But those that are under your care, whether in person, by way of any venue of communication you might have, online, in person, any of that, you are to feed the flock. What excuse are we going to have for not feeding the flock of God? We got more communication venues and mediums now in this late hour before Christ's return. And it's for a reason, so that we can feed the church of Christ, not the denomination. I'm talking about the people of God, the born-again believers that would read our posts or listen to us as we sit down with them or we stand in line with them. I've had just numerous occasions and opportunities for the Word of God to go forth, even this week. And a lot of people are telling me, yeah, I don't want to be involved involved in these churches. Well, as soon as they say that, I say, well, Doc, I gotta agree with you, man. And they look at me like, oh, cool. One guy said, sit down, dude. Let's talk. You know, that just opened the door wide. And so I was able to minister the word to him, leaving with one of the scripture-rich books that the ministry has, the one called Moments with Our Master, the daily devotional, that to feed him and to get the word in his heart. People, they like the format of a devotional. Everybody knows what one is, you know, and it's a bite-sized nugget to whet their appetite and get the scriptures into their hearts every day. So got off on a tangent there, but we are to feed the flock of God, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is Christ's body, and we are, as James put it, the precious fruit of the earth there in James 5. We are the apple of his eye, we read in the Old Testament. We couldn't be more important to him. And so the overseer, the servant leader, if you will, the servant of Christ, must see that body of Christ was purchased with the very blood of the Savior, that they could not be more important to him. And so they must be fed. They must get into the word, and you get that word into them and quicken them and exhort them and even rebuke them to get in the word themselves and begin to grow and to feed themselves. No different than when a baby has to be fed by mom and dad, but then there comes a time when that baby picks up the spoon, is taught to pick up the spoon or the fork. I think we start with the spoon, right? Yeah. A fork could be dangerous in the hand of a baby, but you know, at a certain age, the baby starts taking that spoon with, and you know, dipping it in the food and putting it in its mouth and feeding itself. And in my estimation, that one of the most, if not the most important thing to do, is not only teach the word of God and feed it, but get them in the word. I personally don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything in Christ's kingdom unless I'm actually causing people, prayerfully, hopefully, and I haven't always done this right, that's for sure, but to get them in the word, you know. Sometimes it's by exhortation or admonition or even rebuke. Sometimes it's more encouraging, but something to shake them. I often like to say, look, if you're not in the word daily, you have already backslidden. And I stand on that personally. You're not going to sustain a life with God without receiving of his nutrients, even the bread of life, every day. That's the same thing with your physical body. If you don't eat, you're going to get weak and you're going to wither. People fall away because they don't eat the word of God. They get caught up in other causes, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. The only way those things can be put off and disallowed from invading our life and taking over as the priority in our lives is to get into and stay into the double-edged sword of the word of God, which circumcises our heart. It feeds and nutrifies us, and so many other benefits. So Paul then says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. This is Acts 20, verse 29 and 30. Paul is speaking of his departing. That could mean maybe a double reference to him leaving the Ephesians elders, the immediate observation, but also when he left the earth. He wouldn't be there to defend the flock and to come in as he did in many of his letters and defend the faith. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:17, you know, some people along the way over the years have said, man, dude, why are you getting all, you know, upset about this? I guess my reply to them is, why aren't you getting upset by this? Paul was upset. He cried, the next verse we're going to read, 3 years with tears he ceased not to warn everyone night and day. The eternal souls of men are at stake, saints, and there cannot be a higher jeopardy. Jesus said, what good would it be for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:35-36, I believe, or 36 and 37. In Revelation 3:11, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The Bible uses the term eternal salvation, and it attaches it to those that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. You see, we currently, if we're saved, have everlasting life. Yet the possession of everlasting life is not without the possibility of forfeiting. If we read the Bible honestly, as we talk about so often with scripture on safeguardyoursoul.com. So that's why Jesus himself is talking here. Now, he had just said in verse 5, he warned them that their name could be blotted out of the book of life. Now, if such was it possible, I just have to wonder why anyone would call the Son of God a liar by saying those things. Here in verse 11, Revelation 3, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So obviously it's possible to allow mere sinful men to take your crown, that is, your eternal crown of glory with Christ. Hold that fast. You must hold fast in Christ on his terms, according to his doctrine, his word, in an abiding fellowship and relationship with him, which always yields obedience. John 15, hold it fast, so that no man take thy crown. See, this is why Paul was so fervent, like a bulldog. That's putting it lightly as we read these words of the apostle, the great apostle, who's warning that grievous wolves were going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And, you know, the most dangerous kind, he says in verse 30 here, are those that are within, not those that are without. We already know that the Roman Catholic Church is not Christian. It's an antichrist cult. You know, Islam, that's obvious. Those aren't within the professing Christian realm. Those are outside of it. So most of us already know those are ungodly cults. Those aren't. But he's talking about the more insidious enemy, like the Judases within. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Notice, of your own self, wearing the same clothing and having the same garb as you. All the trimming coming in as one of you. These are the most insidious kind of enemies, the domestic, not the foreign enemies. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They are speaking perverse things. See, these are the seducing spirits working through these men, and doctrines of devils, which Paul spoke of in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, who would cause some to depart from the faith. So it seems, once again, it does seem that this is perhaps a prophetic utterance of Paul. It was not only immediate, but probably had prophetic implications, that the Holy Spirit in Paul foresaw that throughout the whole New Testament era, vile heretic wolves, if you will, were going to invade the professing body of Christ. And during the whole New Testament era leading up to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now Paul underscores the importance of feeding the flock of God and continuing to bathe them in the Word, to feed them the Word of God. Now, each individual has to choose to obey God. That's obvious. But your obedience to God and mine is to always feed the flock. Whatever you do, saints, give people pure Scripture. Now, if it's not all just pure Scripture, that's okay too, if it's in line with what we read, what I would call kind of a format of ministry, and it would be Nehemiah 8:8, where we see the elders stood up and read from the Scriptures distinctly, not right out of the Scriptures. And by the way, let that be the King James Bible, not one of these fake so-called Bibles, please. So we read the Scriptures to them, we post them, and then they gave the sense thereof. In other words, learning together to rightly divide the word of truth. But it should always be Scripture rich, Scripture intensive. Run across people sometimes that all they do is put pure Scripture. My good friend Adam does that. Adam Miller, what a blessing. He puts out pure Scripture. Chris Sitter, another one, absolute adamant about just putting forth the Scripture. I mean, that is, the ministry probably couldn't get better than that, because, you know, man's not tainting it. And yet we do see the elders reading from the Scriptures and giving the sense thereof. That's what the overseers are for. But we also have a lot of people that are going outside the bounds of Scripture. Long before you and I were born, Satan had been at work for like 6,000 years. And in past decades and years and centuries, and even millennia, we've had deceivers that have planted, after Paul up until this point, a lot of poison in the pond that a lot of us have been taught and don't really realize it. And let me talk about that for just a minute, just as kind of a few examples. John Calvin, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's the worst heretic in New Testament history. This guy is a vile, demonic animal who had over 60 people murdered for not agreeing with him. All 5 points of his system, or that which was systemized and codified, or whatever that word is, after he left, the 5 points of Calvinism are absolutely heretical from the first one on, the way that is that they're defined by Calvinism. We got a lot about that on our site, safeguardyoursoul.com. Just go into the Calvinism category. How about people like Darby, and that taught dispensationalism starting in the 1800s. Let's see, we got Darby. Let's see who participated in that. A guy named, John Darby, Clarence Larkin, Dwight L. Moody, Schofield, who spread this crap. Okay, this dispensational demonic system. Peter Ruckman. These guys are all devils, and they rode upon the credibility of the King James Bible, which doesn't taint the King James Bible. It's God's word preserved to us, Psalm 12, 6, and 7. But these men, as deceivers are apt to do, ride upon the credibility of other true servants of the Lord, or true servants of the Lord, and of the works of God, like such as the preservation of the Bible in the English language, the King James Bible. But yet they are deceivers. So that also fulfills what Paul says concerning the, they'll enter in among you as and speak perverse things, and they will be of yourselves. See, they will have a like recognition and discernment that the King James Bible is correct. But then they go ahead and create their own notes in that Bible, which are misleading people, and people depend on their commentary in those Bibles. Okay, it's King James text, for example, in the Scofield Bible, but there's some grossly perverse false teachings, namely about the end times with all their charts they add and stuff. Absolutely dangerous, folks, and this would definitely fit Paul's warning to beware of these vile heretics who are going to rise up from within and mislead the people. And you know, the dispensationalists will, first of all, that's a wicked system. I encourage you to look into it. We've got a category on dispensationalism and the heretics who peddle it on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just go to the category drop down and click D and scroll down and find the dispensationalist category. These dispensationalists who fit the scope of what Paul, the Holy Spirit, was forewarning us. By the way, the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness cult, the Seventh-day Adventist, and all the Seventh-day cults are all part of these vile, heretical systems that would come in and corrupt. Also, the Hebrew Roots cult that puts more emphasis on feasts instead of the fulfillment of them and tells you you have to, you know, understand the Old Testament types and shadows in order to understand the New Testament. There's some truth in that, but they always bring you back under the law. And again, these are all systems, and there's many more. I'm just throwing out a sampling that were foretold here. You can know it by the Holy Spirit, I believe, in Paul's warning. So dispensationalists, for example, deceitfully attached, that would include the men I just mentioned, Darby and Clarence Larkin, John Darby, Schofield, Moody was even a dispensationalist, I believe. So, and it's pervaded the evangelical world, by the way. Not one of us is untouched by it. And that's another reason why it's important to look into this. Dispensationalists deceitfully attach or connect the Bible command to rightly divide the word of truth to their own false systems and charts. As I was speaking earlier, like the Scofield Bible, for example. What a piece of garbage. This is the height of deception. Yet notice the very context from which they pluck out and say, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you got to listen to us tell you what the key is to understanding the Bible. Only then can you understand. So let me get this straight. This system didn't start till the 1800s. So for 1850 years, nobody could understand the Bible because they didn't have these dispensational keys where they chopped the Bible all up. That is absolutely heretical and laughable if it wasn't so wicked. This is the height of deception. Notice the term, this is scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice how it appears in scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That is implied clearly. Study the scriptures, not some man's extra biblical keys or system. No, get in the word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the only way you're going to rightly divide the word of truth is to study the word of God yourself. And stop depending on men. Stop thinking, I've got to go to a church. I've got to find a church. Who said you got to find a church? The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That should be every day, like the early church would be the context, house to house, daily. And most of these churches, especially now, and fulfillment of prophecy, are absolutely full of all kinds of heresy. Look at the fruit of how many biblically astute, evangelistic, ministering people do you know that are part of a local church? You can probably name them or fit them on one hand, if you can even think of one of them. This was a hard thing for me personally, because I've been brought up, even though it was a false religion called the Catholic Church, I was always in church on Sunday morning. So it's taken a long time, but I'm happier and perhaps freer and more clear-hearted and minded without all this local church pollution than I've ever been since I've come out from among them. Now, you've got to go with the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your own personal life. I'm not trying to speak that specifically, but I do encourage you to pray about it. We've got to be careful not that we're not being poisoned by the very vile wolves who Paul was prophesying about, who are sowing false teachings in order to draw men after them, to follow them. That's why most of them don't want to get you in the Word, because they want you to depend on them so that they can tell you about God instead of you learning yourself by studying to show yourself approved unto God. And when you do that, you're going to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth and see where other men are in error, just like the Bereans in Acts 17, 10 and 11, where they took Paul to task. Paul came to Berea preaching. They broke out the scriptures and they held them up and studied them and compared what Paul was preaching to what the Word says, which is the written Word is the final authority of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3, 4. All things, not some, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Holy Scriptures. 2 Peter 1. Okay, the Scriptures are the more sure word of prophecy, even more sure than the Father actually literally speaking from heaven and calling Jesus the one, his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Read it. 2 Peter chapter 1. So study to show you, study God's word for yourself. And it's only then that you can rightly divide the word of truth, not by looking at somebody's charts that they crafted so that you can learn this system or this key or this lens through this prism through which to see the word of God. That's a system of theology. And you're done, man. If you buy a system, you've got rose-colored glasses on. You're in trouble. You need to get rid of, take off those glasses and crush them. See, we see here in 2 Timothy 2:15 that rightly divided word of truth is only possible by personally studying the scriptures for ourselves and not buying into man's keys, charts, systems. You know, these guys run around. These are twofold children of hell of the heretics that pass down these whole systems. You can't really understand the Bible unless you understand a dispensation. Absolutely heretical. Run from these devils. It doesn't matter how on target they seem about everything else. See, that's the deceptive thing, because these same dispensationalists actually read the King James Bible, which is good. But they're also positioning themselves, knowing that so many people and more every day are going back to the King James Bible and leaving these perverted versions of the Bible. See, they're playing on that and using that to hide behind, and then they're slipping in deception. Beware, saints. By the Holy Spirit, the Lord's apostle Paul was instructing Timothy to study the Word of God himself and not to depend on men's, or don't even consider man's charts and systems. Let God teach you through a comprehensive personal study and understanding of what the Scriptures teach. The unchanging Word of God, saints, the Bible itself, and the Holy Spirit, the divine person of the Holy Spirit, they are the divine source for divine truth. They teach us the Word itself and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Not mere men or sinful man's concocted theological systems or charts. Beware, saints. Remember, Scripture teaches us that His Word, God's Word, Thy Word, not men, but Thy Word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Boom, memorize it. It's in a song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Makes it easy to memorize, huh? Psalm 119:105. The word of God is the lamp to your feet and the light unto your path. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture, not some, dispensationalists teach that only some of the New Testament applies to us, not all of it. They say only the writings of Paul were written for us. The other ones are just kind of set aside and they're just written to us or something like that. They believe that we're only accountable to Paul's writings. Our main subject is not to spend a whole lot of time on dispensationalism, but I am trying to whet your appetite intentionally to beware of this cult. And they won't come out and say they're dispensationalists a lot of time until you attend their little fellowships for a while. This is poison, folks. All right. So remember, Paul said, which contradicts what they teach, that all scripture, not some, all, that means the book of Revelation, which was written and penned by Jesus' apostle John, that would be included, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, those are all included, written and penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the apostle John. What about Peter? He wrote 8 chapters, 1 and 2 Peter, in the canon of Holy Scripture. They exclude that as being binding toward New Testament believers. Why? Even the Gospels, even the words of Jesus, convenient. Why do they do this? Well, because the devil is a deceiver, and he is definitely in control of these men, and he doesn't like things like that Jesus said and that Peter and John said. It's too absolute. See, they feel like if they narrow it down to the writings of Paul from Romans to Philemon, they kind of just concentrate on the grace. But Paul says the same things Jesus taught and the same thing that Peter and John taught, all by the Holy Spirit. It's one author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit. And a lot of this stuff is absolutely revealed and compared in detail in the book called Lie of the Ages, which is available on Amazon. Also, it's available on safeguardyoursoul.com on the store page. Highly recommend it. See, Paul and John and Peter and all the writers of the New Testament scriptures were just simply teaching what Jesus taught. This is what Acts 2:42 calls the apostles' doctrine. The apostles taught, and the writers of the New Testament revealed the same teachings of Jesus. They brought it to the world. Okay, Jesus taught them, and they gave it to the world. And no different than when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes, he didn't give it directly to the world. He gave it to his apostles, and they gave it to the people. So his word is the lamp to our feet and the light unto our path. His word is the apostles' doctrine, all of it, not just Paul's writings. Notice this, Psalm 119. Again, the longest psalm in the Bible is on the word of God, every single verse. And that's for a reason. The word of God is the final divine authority. Not me, not you, not some other man, not some wonderful church you think you go to. Not these systems of theology which have their, you know, lineage, starting with, in this case, dispensationalism. Demonic heretics named Darby, the Clarence guy, Gofield, Peter, the devil, Ruckman, Moody. Clarence Larkin was one of those devils in that lineage. Okay, you got to go further back to that than that. You go to Christ and his apostles. That's why I tell people, why are you wasting time studying church history, which is littered with heretics like John Calvin, etc., and all the Calvinistic so-called theologians that came after him, and many of the devils who peddle his garbage today, and the eternal security heretic. Go back to the word. Don't go to church history. Don't waste your time. Let me ask you this, just to kind of qualify this. Do you know the Bible thoroughly enough? I certainly don't. I don't know any man that is a man of God that's going to say he knows the Bible good enough. Unless you got the whole thing memorized. Why are you wasting God's time and your own studying church history? There's a lot of heretics there. Why even have to bother with sorting through all that? Why not just study the scriptures and give out the scriptures and feed the flock with the scriptures? And by your understanding and knowledge of the definite article of the word of God, it's thereby that you're able to rightly divide the word of truth and see what is truth and what is error. Ezekiel 44:23 tells us that actually the true servants of the Lord are going to teach God's people to discern between the holy and the profane. That's Ezekiel 44:23. You see, and with discernment from the knowledge of the word of God, it's going to come a dividing line where you're able to divide yourself, separate yourself from the heretics who teach falsely. Let me read that verse. I'm going to close here in just a minute after we finish a couple of more verses here in our main text, which is Acts chapter 20, I'd say 20 through 32. All right, so Ezekiel 44:23, and they shall teach my people the different. There's a difference. Remember, rightly dividing the word of truth. Divide, because a difference. And they shall teach my people the difference, those that feed my flock, who God promised to raise up among us. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern. Discern, notice that's a Bible word. Discern between the unclean and the clean. See, that's part of feeding the flock of God. Also, notice the promise of Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then you're going to be multiplied, he goes on to say, and increased. And may each of us listening, who are the true children of the Lord, be multiplied in the grace of God this day, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Okay, let's finish up here. All right, so Acts 20, Paul said he didn't shun to declare all the counsel of God. Endeavor should be the whole counsel of God, saints. That's why I love what the scriptures teach, actually, in the New Testament. Titus 1:5, and I believe it's Acts 14, is it 32? A plurality of elders overseeing a body, okay? A plurality, not just one guy, but a plurality. Not every person can study all of Scripture and know it thoroughly. You don't see many or any people like that. But you may be strong in certain places in Scripture where other people aren't, and vice versa. God has intricately given each member of the body to fulfill their own part. Each and every joint supplieth. I believe that's Ephesians 4. Every part of the body has its place. We are all richly blessed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God through each member of the body of Christ. So Paul says here, let's go to verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What a incredible conclusion to this part of his message to the Ephesian elders. He said he did not hold anything back. He gave every vital truth from the word of God, and that Jesus had told him directly by revelation to the body of Christ, which we now have on record in his writings and in the writings of all the writers of the New Testament, all of which are absolutely pertaining to and pertinent directly and binding upon every believer. Hallelujah. Even the New Testament, Paul wrote that the Old Testament scriptures are for our learning. In Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written afore time were written for our learning. There it is, that we through patience, comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So Paul says, as we close, saints, to the brethren, I commend you to God and to the word. To the word. Paul is commending people to the word, just like when he told Timothy, his younger understudy, 2 Timothy 2:15, where we started, study to show yourself approved. You study unto God, and thereby you're going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. So Paul says here, I'm commending you to God directly, to your relationship with God. Nothing's more important than Jesus being your first love, and to the word of his grace. The word. Get in the word, beloved saints, and the word is going to get into you so that you're not deceived. See, Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Amen. It's pure. It's not tainted by the notions and the false teachings and the charts and systems of men. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield, a protection to them that put their trust in him. That is, through his word. Don't allow the poison of these heretics, the poison in the pond of your worldview or your understanding, your spirit, your mind, your view of God. Get in the word for yourself and let God speak for himself to your heart. And the Holy Spirit will be right there present to do such. Because I was going to read earlier, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. The word of God and the Holy Spirit is what you need, folks, directly for yourself. A whole lot of folks, perhaps some listening to me right now, spend more time in a church building listening to some man or men than they do in the word of God. This is despicable. Repent. Follow Christ for yourself. Get in the word. Anybody that's not in the word daily is already backslidden. So Paul commends the believers, the elders, which would include all believers, to God and to the word of God, the word of his grace. And what is the word of God able to do? It's able to build you up. See, that's why you can't sustain a life with God outside of the word of God. You got to feed your spirit daily, period. Doesn't matter if you're not even hardly breathing, you get in the word. But brother, I got to go to work. Yeah, get up earlier. That's all. Get up earlier, get into work. If God's not important enough for you to get up early and get into work, you need to repent, because he's not the first love of your life. Well, they'll do it in the evening. Try that for a little while, see how it works. It doesn't work. I've never been
at a person where that works. First of all, you're not putting God first. Jesus said, but seek ye first, not second, first, the kingdom of God. You got
time, energy, and the wherewithal to get up in the morning and eat, drink coffee, read this or that, read your emails, but you don't have time to get up and put God first by getting in the Word before you open that stupid device and check your email and your stocks and all this other crap. You got a serious problem, and you need to repent, because he is not first. See, he's not the first love of your life, and therefore you need to repent, just like he told the Ephesians in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. Get in the Word, and the Word will get into you, and it will circumcise your heart, and it will give you what to pray before God. Cry out to God for a pure heart, for a clean heart, for a heart of flesh, to deliver you, to set you free, to chasten you, to purify your heart. Because it's only then that are going to see God. And you see, it happens by the washing of water by the Word. Not once here or there. Every day, richly, deeply getting into the Word and meditating in the Word. That's the only way you can have success. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, not some but all. For then, only then, will you make your way prosperous and have good success. Joshua 1:8, memorize it. So the Word is able to, that Paul commended the believers to, it's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. You got to have the Word, folks. You've got to have the Word in order to be among those that have the inheritance of Christ eternally, and being sanctified, not only now, but then. And you're sanctified by the Word of God. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. And the other references concerning the return of Christ and what bride he's coming back for. And right in the middle of it, verse 26, as we close here, he says, speaks of the washing of water by the Word. And that's how Jesus is purifying his body, that he might sanctify it. First of all, it says Ephesians 5:25-27, that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Here it is. That he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Amen. Are you in the Word? If you're not in the Word, you're not being sanctified by the cleansing of the Word and by the circumcision of that double-edged sword to cut away the things in your evil heart that God wants out of your life,
so that your worship is pure to him. Verse 27, as we close, that he might present it to himself, that is a church that he died for, and that he's washing by his Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. And I want to encourage you to pour over personally the passage, our main passage today, Acts 20:20-32. Acts 20:20. Pretty easy to remember, huh? 20:20-32. God bless you. And we'll be coming at you soon with more scripture-rich messages. The site safeguardyoursoul.com is there to edify you in Christ. Thank you for praying that we can continue to reach more and more people with the Word of God. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being